This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast, The One Was Had a Dream. My name is Lee Finch, and as ever, I will be joined by Danny Baker. We have a guest coming on tonight, and our guest, or today, depending when you listen, is Graham Stacey, ex-Don's Trust board member. He'll be coming on and discussing all things Wimbledon. But first off, let me introduce the one only Danny. Danny, how are we? Good?
I'm excellent, mate. Second, we get a two-week off them, obviously.
So, that is ridiculous. You get 2 weeks.
I had a topic brought up, but I'm going to talk about my experience Monday. I did a skydive on Monday, right? Yeah. Which is an old bet from my brother that when I turned 40, I said, look, he said, what do you want? And I made a long list of, you know, I want to do the 92 and all this sort of stuff. And then I was like, oh, I'll do a skydive. And my brother literally 2 minutes later went, all right, there you go. It's paid for. And I was like, damn it. So it's kind of pot committed. So anyway, it got called off once. I was at Bockett's farm, you know, other farms are available if you like, on Sunday. And I thought, oh, it'll definitely get called off. And it didn't. So I got up at 4:30 in the morning, drove down, met some old bloke, and I was just having a chat with him. Anyway, how random is it? I bumped into three other AFC Wimbledon fans. How mental is that? But it was, what was the reason why I was bringing it up is obviously, first, it was a brilliant experience. But the three guys I met were from who were representing the Jack Lonergan Foundation.
Yeah,
which, as you know, bless Jack, who passed away after one of the games. And it was just like, it's so annoying. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had that episode randomly when you bump into random fans at random places. So non-scripted, couldn't believe it. But the guy has raised some money for the Jack Lonergan Foundation, which obviously provides music for schools. So I just wanted to give them a big up. And I guess my question to you, Lee, is, what was the most mental thing that you've done of late? Apart from, I mean, Barrow doesn't count. If you went there, that is equally mental on a different tangent. I mean, what made you lose your hair, I guess?
Well, male pattern baldness. It's hereditary.
Is it actually hereditary? It's not like a fashion statement or a process.
It's definitely not a fashion process. Yeah. No, I'm it's annoying actually because I'm a good looking lad anyway. But with hair, there's not been a woman I haven't met who hasn't fancied me the first time she's met me.
Right? She might like you how you look, but then you sort of start mentioning dozens and get that wrong. And
my personality kicks in.
Everyone goes.
But with hair, I think I'd be absolutely mustard. I'd be unstoppable.
What would be your haircut? Would you go for like a Danny Baker today or a Graham Stacey today?
Neither of them. Disgusting haircut. Neither of them.
Shambles.
Absolute shambles of haircuts that you two are. Literally, you've got hair and you're going out with that. That is shocking. I'd rather, happy I am bald. Are you suing your bald? Who done it? Helen Keller? Like, what's going on? It's a crack.
I try not to go to the same barber twice because, I hate getting my haircut.
You mean you don't? What do you mean you don't go to the same barber twice? Wait, sorry. Before we introduce,
I just keep moving around them.
No, that's ridiculous. You have to go to the same barber. You have to. No, I go. I'm bald.
Turkish guy about something. I just want to sit there quietly.
I'm bald, and I go to a Turkish barber.
All right.
Every once a month, I get all shaved off, do the old thing, get my beard trimmed.
Isn't it? The hot towel.
The hot towel, and then he gives me a massage. I go to, it's not one for the missus, really. But yeah, not one of them, really. Anyway, two Turkish barbers. Graham looks a bit like a Turkish barber.
He does. Graham, welcome. I don't know how to say welcome in Turkish, but welcome.
Thank you. Matos.
People don't know, Graham's got what looks like a sensational sort of, mid-90s top knot, which is just starting, isn't it?
It's not just starting, it's actually... I've had to fold it over.
It's the worst top knot I've ever seen. As I said, he looks like a lid of what you put on a pot and pan. It's unbelievable. It's like, as I said, you two are rocking them haircuts, having a go at me for being bald, and I'm like...
Yeah, but your beard is an absolute joke.
But anyway, I wanted to say, you said about mental things. I've not done anything mental recently, to be fair. But the people that went to Barrow on Saturday are absolutely mental. I had a couple of mates who went up there. And they said it was grim. They went to a sports bar that looked like ropey as hell. But did you see all the stuff that happened? We tweeted about it because all the trains got cancelled.
Yeah, I spoke to Ollie Lewis today.
Yeah, Mick Dore, I think he stayed up there and he ended up having a bowl of Cocoa Pops or something the next morning and had to go literally to breath and death for the country to get home. But a couple of my mates, one of them was like, it's so hilarious. One of them's like, we might have to stay in Barrow. And then one of my mates, U-Boat,
yeah, go on. As always, you're always explaining the nickname. Just get on with it quickly.
He messaged him and said, why don't you head to Carlisle? It's a better night out. And he's like, wait a minute, Carlisle's further away. Why am I going to go further away? I might as well just stay in Barrow. That's a mental shout as well. That's a ridiculous shout. And then one of them said, get to Manchester and then get stuck in Manchester. Stay in Manchester is better than probably staying in Barrow. But who says go to Carlisle? He might as well said go to Inverness. Clown
you
boat.
Have you done it, Graham Barrow? Have you done Barrow away?
No, I don't go north of kind of London. I'm not a home games person.
I've done Barrow 2-2. Right. First time we played them up there. We were 2-0down and come back to all. My mate Nick threw me on the pitch and broke his thumb as he was doing it on the wall. I think I said this last week and I thought I was going to get chucked out, go all the way to Barrow and get chucked out. And then they throw bags of shit at you, apparently. And we were singing, where's your famous bags of shit? But that didn't happen.
It didn't happen last. But talking about bags of you know what, Lee.
Yes, mate.
Saturday and obviously Accrington.
Right.
Not exactly the best two games of our season, is it?
Well, let's start with Barrow, obviously. That's the officer's choice to start with. I thought we'd done all right. I thought it was a good point away from home. Barrow hadn't lost at home. I think that was the case. We hadn't lost away.
Yeah.
Good team. I thought Barrow was solid. They could have had a couple of chances. We had a couple of chances. Davison didn't look like he was available, so he might have been on paternity leave or something, which is a weird one. When his missus did give birth, he played, and then the weekend, he wasn't there. Ali was, you could tell he was knackered from travelling.
He was leggy, wasn't he?
Iraq, and I would have rested him, but we've got no one else to throw in. It's a good point away from home. A 0-0 away at Barrow. As I said, I felt sorry for the people that went up there and saw a 0-0 and not much action. But you take that point all day long. Graham, what did you think, mate?
You say you take that point, and you're right. I'd like to see us go for it occasionally and change things up a bit. But then, you know, that's in the past, that's backfired. So it's a tricky one. And I think you'd take the point, yeah. But it wasn't the most exciting.
No, it was one of them games where we kind of, it just seemed to be, there are so many games where two teams are nervous. Mm. No one wants to commit to go and score a goal to win it. And it was almost like we're just going to keep nullifying. We're going to keep nullifying each other. We didn't really have a plan B, which unfortunately is probably our downfall this year. But it's just annoying because having said all that, Reeves goes one-on-one at the end. Looks like he's totally either run out of legs or lost his nerve. Could have squared it even if he wanted to. Mm. So I think it was a good point. I don't think we did enough to win it. I don't think they did. Watching it on the telly, it was nowhere near as bad as what people who were there said it was. People who said it there, I think if you add on the journey, a 0-0, the journey back, the game's a shocker. But in terms of watching it, it didn't look particularly bad. It was just we've had some good 0-0s this year. That
Mansfield.
Yeah, this one was a very, very nil-nil-ish game where we kind of didn't really get going. But as sort of Graham alluded to, we're not really getting going anywhere at the moment. We're kind of struggling a bit.
My feeling with it as well is the players have gone all the way out there. They don't want to let the 200-odd fans that have gone up there down. So that's maybe why you don't go at it, because you go at it and you get beat 3-0. You get spanked away to Barrow. That's like, well, yeah, cheers for the 200 who made the effort. And as I said, it weren't cheap. I think Don's Vlogs tweeted that him and his son went and it cost them £109 just on the train. Do you know what I mean? So you're looking at a £200 Saturday just to go watch Wimbledon draw 0-0, which... You do it and you'll do it again. Most Wimbledon fans will. As I said, Barrow, I think you do it once and you try and not go out there again if you can't help it. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, it's on paper.
It's a good nil. The
problem I got with the 0-0, and as I said, it's a good point, but the problem you got now is that we've drawn 0-0 away to Mansfield, we've drawn 0-0 to Barrow. We haven't scored in, well, before Accrington, we hadn't scored in four games, or we only scored one goal in four games. Do you know what I mean? No wins in four now. It's getting on again, a bad run that we seem to be getting ourselves on again, which we need to kind of...
I mean, are lots of draws a bad run, Graham, do you think? Is that a bad run, or is that just, you know, where football... I mean, I don't know whether there is a definition of a good or a bad run, but would you say that we're on a bad run?
Well, I would say it's all relative to last year.
Yeah,
we'd have been losing these games and we'd be on a run of three losses, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, something like that, you know. So I totally take it. And I can see why Johnny Jackson possibly doesn't take the handbrake off, because, again, compared to the results last year, he's got to be happy with a point here, a point there, rather than risking getting none. And
do you feel that kind of his, because of last year, and because of the fact of he's had a good start, but we're kind of finding a way. Do you feel that impacts on his management style, do you think? Do you think that he would be able to let the hand break off if he had had a decent year last year? Or do you think this is just Johnny Jackson and away we go?
I think he's got the handbrake on completely. And I think that's from what's happened to him. He must be so nervous. You know, there's that, what do you call it? That memory. That is like muscle memory, isn't it?
Yeah.
To a degree, even though he's got better players and you're getting better results, it's so some of these fine margins, and you think 3-1 nils, and people are asking questions about him, and he knows that. And we sort of said 10 games, didn't we? Or everyone, that was the common sort of idea. He's got 10 games, let's see where we are. We're what, a third of the way through? So he kind of got through the 10 games, and then coming back to what you said, is this a bad run? I wouldn't say we've fallen off a cliff, but there's nerves there, I think, about letting this go.
What do you think, Lee?
My worry is, I think it's Johnny Jackson's management, because it's very similar to last year. Some of the subs are causing me issues with their like for like, pretty much again, like he did last year. Doesn't change things to go win games and stuff like that, which again is same as last year. Talking of falling off cliffs, my problem I've got at the moment is some of our players, their form is just gone. Tilly is just a different player to what he was in the first 10 games. Do you know what I mean? He's just, is it because he's being, we've been worked out? Teams are scouting us now. We had this rate, everyone was raving about Tilly. So people looked at him and gone, right, this is how you nullify Wimbledon. Do you know what I mean? As I said before, I like Nurfield, I like his work ethic, like his attitude, but he doesn't score enough goals or get enough assists for a wide man who's meant to beat their man, put the balls in the box. Ali, you're still getting that work rate from him. Again, I think he looked leggy. I think he looked tired coming back from international duty. Bugle is hit and miss. We'll move on to Akron in a minute, where he came on and was unplayable. But against Barrow, he didn't win one header. Do you know what I mean? Reeves and Little's now going into what he did last year as well. He was brilliant for the first 10 games. But again, last two or three, he's dropped off again. Mansfield, I think he was brilliant. But then... I think he was poor again against Accrington. But
so are we on a bad run, in your opinion? Would you define this as a bad run now? Or
no.
You don't think this is a bad run at the moment?
I don't think it's a bad run at the moment, because we're still picking up points. It's massive come Saturday now, because you've played the three games. Again, we allude to it all the time in regards to what George said when he came on the podcast, that this is a really tough month. We're playing some proper League Two teams. If we only pick up one point from Barrow, Accrington and Morecambe, then you're like, well, this is, I mean, out of 9 points and winnable games as well. To be fair, we move on to Accrington, or you'd be done with Barrow was pretty
dark.
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
I thought Accrington were absolutely superb. One of the best teams we played, definitely. Up there with Stockport. A couple of mates even think they're better than Stockport the way they played. If you look at their form as well, their form is really good. Do you know what I mean? They're scoring goals for fun. We were absolutely appalling, right? There's no getting away from that. We were shocking. But as I said to you before, when we've done okay, every player usually scores 6 or 7. On Tuesday against Accrington, I think every single player was a 5 until we made the subs. Do you know what I mean? And that's being polite to people like Pell. I thought Pell was horrendous. And this thing with Pell being a number 10 or just behind the front man has got to stop now. It's never worked. Hasn't worked.
But where is he then? Because he's definitely not.
He has to come on as a midfielder when you're winning 1-0 and he comes on and disrupts the game, or we're winning 2-0 and stuff. He's a disruptor now. He's not a ball player. He can't play ball. James Ball's ahead of him for me. Morgan Williams will be ahead of him when he comes back. And yeah, I don't see. There was loads of people going absolutely ballistic after Tuesday. Obviously, it was appalling. It's the worst I've seen us play. But I think we need to just park it, move on pretty quickly, because otherwise we will, like Graham said, we will end up like last season, and Johnny Jackson will then start getting nervous, and we'll see it in the players. But
do you think, Graham, that's the way to do it, just to park it, or are we?
I do think so.
Walking into something here.
No, I think we've got to write that one off. I think as you know, Lee's just said, our players weren't that great, but I think they did a number on us. The first 10 minutes, the energy that they had chasing everything down, you know, it put us on the back foot. I think tactically they seemed to get it right. The way we play, we either go long ball or we give it to Jake Reeves, and he's got a range of passing. They put someone on Reeves and he had nothing. He had, you know, suddenly he was almost man-marked. And so all we had was long balls, and you know, and they're comfortable with that. They got like 3 centre backs, whatever, about 6'12" or whatever. No, that's 7 foot. 6 foot. My maths. You know, they got these giant centre backs. They're happy for us to do that all day long. So they've taken Reeves out, and that's where we don't have that plan B, really, I don't think. And like,
but is that a personnel thing? Because for me, it screened out of a very wily League Two savvy manager who knows how to play at this level, who's done it year in, year out, and a young lad who, let's be honest, when Johnny Jackson came in, we had this playing out the back, didn't we? And we really struggled, and we started to go longer. And then I just feel like you said, tactically, they were miles ahead of us. And the way that they just identified, okay, they've got 2 short fullbacks. We're a land of giants. We'll just keep floating into the back stick. And almost every single time it went, a cross came in, it went back stick, and we were in a world of trouble.
We've also got to remember, with Accrington, they've got a manager who's got a point to prove at the moment to their chairman, because I don't know if you know all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. It looked like their chairman had been on the sauce on Saturday night and was on Twitter literally 24 hours all the way through the night, replying to people and stuff, telling them the club's on sale, the management came to my office, wanted a new contract and blah-de-blah and stuff like that. Again, it's not up for us, but it's their club, they can deal with it how they want. But for me, at the moment, it seems that they've got a manager with a real point to prove, to say, this is how good I am, on the worst budget in the league, by all accounts. They've got the worst budget.
Who Accrington have?
Apparently, that's what their chairman says.
But I'll tell you what, though, their number 7, Wally, I thought was one of the best players I've seen at ours in ages.
And their striker as well was unreal.
Yeah, the tall lad, I mean, the guy who scored a really good goal. I mean, I'm with you. I thought the first half we looked... The moment we did the back pass, and I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, we make the back pass, keeper picks it up, puts the ball down, that Wally runs up and he just kicks it in the goal. It was like, it was an indirect free kick to them, 6 yards out. And rather than him waiting and passing something, he's put the ball down and kicked it straight in the goal. And the referee went, yeah, it wasn't indirect. It's the other team's ball. But from that moment, Joe Lewis stacked it on the halfway line. It just seemed to be... The whole game just summed up. And again, say I play to Jackson at half-time, tries to make a change, tries to be something which is very unlike him. 30 seconds later, we're 3-0 down, and it's like, oh dear. We just seemed, like I said, I don't have a problem with writing the game off as such, but my problem is we're now, in my opinion, we're starting to sleepwalk into some of those habits from last year, which is a concern.
Danny, one of my big issues with Tuesday as well, and a lot of people keep saying it, is they're saying, why have we changed the team? Why have these players been brought in and stuff like that? But we were calling for it, and a lot of people were saying we needed to rotate because we had so many games. We were going to Morecambe on Saturday. That's another long journey up to Morecambe. You know what I mean? One surprise for me was Evans coming in because he's only just come back from injury. So he hasn't had any game time, any minutes at all.
He was pony.
He was pony. One of my mates, me and him keep having an argument about Evans because he's going, oh, he's a good signing. I said, how can you be a good signing when you played 1.5 games for us since you signed? Sasu was nowhere to be seen. Is he injured? Is he out? Yeah, is he unfavourable? I look at our bench now and I actually think it's weak bench. I don't think there's any strength and depth in that bench. And it worries me that we've sent Morgan Williams on loan. We've sent McLean on loan now. And you've got people like Evans and Lakin who are not playing many minutes, not getting game time. I was happy and expected a mid-table finish this year, right? The expectations obviously rise when you're doing well at the start of the season, which has happened. But I think we need to put our feet back on the ground and say, look, if we finish mid-table this year with some of the squad we got, then rebuild again next year. I wouldn't be unhappy with... I don't get why Lakin's still with us, Evans still with us, and we're not having Williams on the bench. Someone said to me, well, it's better for Williams to go get minutes than sitting on a bench not playing. But I think he'll be mustard coming on. And I'm looking at our bench thinking Pierce, Brown, Davison, Pell, they're not good enough for this level anymore, unfortunately. They're not going to change games for us. They're not going to win games and change it around. Graham, what do you think?
I think Lakin should have been a striker. I think that's the one thing Craig Cope hasn't got right so far. And, you know, God knows he's done a lot of things right. But if we had any budget, and I don't know how much we're paying of his loan, whatever, but if there was any way, scope to get another striker, I think we can see that we're missing that. We've got no... you say the bench is weak. I think some of them are all right. Ball's quite good.
Yeah, I like Ball. Agree.
Yeah, I think Kalambayi will be back soon, so Pierce won't be on the bench, presumably. But it just shows that we haven't got that striker. Ali looks a bit out on his leg, he's played a lot of games and he's travelled.
He's knackered, yeah, absolutely knackered.
Exactly. You'd love to put him on for a second half, but, you know, if doing that, who goes on the first half? It's Davison, who really hasn't looked like he merits that 45 at the moment. He's got to earn that, hasn't he? So,
but it's hard though, Graham, to earn it if you don't give him a chance to do it. And this is the thing, you're right. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm totally in agreement in terms of Davison looks well off it. But if he's not going to get minutes, if he's not going to play, he's not going to get better. That's a fact. So it's a case of, I don't agree with people who say we shouldn't have changed it. We had to. We have to rotate our squad. Otherwise, if you don't, I mean, Ali, for instance, now, he must be out of his legs. If he pulls up on Saturday, because we haven't rested him, you don't lose him for one game, you lose him for 10. It's a nightmare. So we do have to rotate the squad. The thing with Lakin, obviously, coming in is I presume they were worried about Reeves and Little. So that was the kind of the extenuating factor I'll give him that. But we definitely, Graham's right, we are definitely a striker short. But I don't agree with you. I don't think our bench is bad at all. I'm quite happy with, you know, it'll be on. I think Billa will now start on Saturday. I think Ogundi will go on the bench. I think it'll be Davison on the bench. I think Sasio on the bench. Ball on the bench. Any of them four players, I've got no problem if they start.
I agree with that.
So I feel like we're there. But I think what the challenge is that we've got, going back to our analogy last week, of players who are ones, players who are twos, players who are threes. We're a squad full of threes. We're a squad full of, if they start, that's okay. We don't have those huge gems. But that's where you said it earlier. It's like, now we've got on this run and we've done well, the expectation goes up, when really, I mean, we are a mid-table team. Who have got those peaks that can be absolutely sensational. If we get hot, we get hot. Well, as it gets thicker and it's harder and you can't play as much football, we're going to struggle.
One of my mates pointed out earlier, he said, we're probably punching above our weight. And one of my mates said, well, actually, I disagree with that because our budget's around about 16th, I think they said, right? And we're 3 points better off than that, do you know what I mean, at the moment, the 6 points. We're only 3 points better than our budget expectations. I don't like budget chat. I really don't think it matters what budget you've got. Well, it kind of matters if you've got zero budget.
It has to matter.
I kind of agree, but I don't think it matters at this moment between the playoffs and the bottom 10 kind of thing, do you know what I mean? Because you look at our team are better than what they are. If we got fully fit squad, we should be pushing for the playoffs with the team we got. But what you said there, Danny, about players coming off their bench and stuff, Pell for me has not done it now, and he had a chance yesterday to show and he hasn't. And I know people say it's hard just to come back in and do it, but you got given your chance. I thought Ogundi was really bad yesterday, and it's good that Biller's coming back because he needs to be pushed, because he's a couple of games he hasn't been great, Ogundia and stuff. I think he needs to be rested. His legs might be going. Bilal coming back is huge. But players got given a chance. Bugle got dropped. He came on at half time and was like, I'm going to show the manager he can't drop me anymore. And he done it. He came on. And that's what I think we need. Evans, he got given his chances. I know he's just come back from injury, but he got pulled off time because he was horrendous.
But it is hard though, mate. Like I said, Bugle plays every single game, every single week, and then he has half off, comes on when we're absolutely playing his game plan. It's not quite as easy for Davison when our main strike isn't there. And to be that main threat and to run and to be competitive with what's going on with him anyway. But let's be honest, he's not a League One striker, is he? And realistically, you need to have, if you're going to get promoted, you need 6 or 7 League One players, and we've got 3, maybe 4.
My question to you guys is, tactically, is Johnny Jackson, again, tactically inept? I like Jackson this season. I think he's doing a good job. Do you know what I mean? This is not me counting Jackson, but tactically, he doesn't change it. We're 4-4-2 every game. And this was the thing last year. We wouldn't change it around. You got Ball sitting on the bench, who's a very good player. Yesterday, Accrington went 5 across the midfield, just nullified what we did across midfield. We had Ball sitting on the bench. Why can't you just go 1 up front in Ali and then bring... Why I don't get the need of Pell. Bring Ball in there. Do you know what I mean? Ball's got legs. He can run. You push Little up a little bit further as well. We don't change it enough to go 4-5-1, or we don't change our formations during games, or we don't change it tactically during games, which is a massive worry. And subs, again, are like for like, which, again, is we're seeing that in the results we're getting at the moment.
Probably goes back to what Graham said, though. Like, you've got a guy who's got the handbrake on. And ultimately, if you are a bit uncertain, let's face it, right? They always talk about managers who have got they've got their culture, their DNA, the way they do stuff. This is a young man who's finding his way. Whether we like it or not, that's by the way, our market. Our market is a young guy who's coming into the job. We've done it with Ardley. We've done it with Robbo. We've done it with Hodges to a certain extent. We've now got Jackson. Our market is a relatively cheap young manager who wants to find their way. And he'll either think, like Ardley's done, unfortunately, bless him, or swim, and he'll kick off and go and do it. But I'm not particularly convinced of Jackson being a particularly strong tactical manager, but I don't know where you sit, Graham, with it.
I think we're yet to see him show some tactical nous. I think the team was set up. I think Craig Cope in pre-season talked about the need to build an identity, a style of play,
yeah,
that Wimbledon, and you know, the kids will grow into that and develop that all the way to the first team. And he identified players, it was like centre backs who can nod it away all day long, people with energy in the midfield, and wingers that will run all day. And that's the sort of DNA that we've gone with.
Yeah,
I think Jackson's kind of taken that and stuck with it very literally almost. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if that's because he said, you know, he's kind of, this is what I've been given and I can't deviate from that because it's an instruction almost, or it's, yeah, like. But the other thing, I think, when we're talking about, like, we talked about Isaac, and he said he's probably out on his legs, you know. And he's, what, 20? And he's played, what, 13, 15 games in a row?
Yeah.
Huss out. So, and you expect a kid, basically, of that age to do as well as he can, but have a really bad game every now and then.
Yeah.
With a manager, I think Jackson's almost where Isaac is almost. Yeah. He's probably, you know, he's had a few more games, but in managerial terms, he's going to have a few stinkers. But I think when we come back to the beginning of the conversation, talking about do we park that, I think if he's learned stuff from that and we park it, then it's a good lesson for him to have learned.
Yeah.
I think he'll go away and talk to Craig Cope and say, what do you think? What could we have done? And analyse the hell out of it and maybe go, yeah, I should have put Ball on in the midfield. Next time I'll do that. I'll go 3 against 3 in the midfield to protect Reeves and whatever. But as long as he's learned lessons, and I do think we can park it. On the day, as we said, they were so hungry and full of energy. They got it tactically spot on. And we, apart from a spell of about 15, 20 minutes, didn't really have an answer.
Yeah, great.
You know, despite that, we did get 2 goals back, and, you know, which isn't the worst. You know,
the other big issue for me was we go in at halftime and then Jackson makes 3 subs. Must have had a massive big talk to him at half time. You're hoping that his teacups and everything are going around. And we score, we concede 25 seconds straight after half time, which pretty much then kills the game for us. That's one of the big issues I got for Tuesday's game that really annoyed me the most. As I said, these things happen. The first 10 minutes happen in games where teams just, do you know what I mean? They come out of the blocks absolutely firing. I know we want to see that at Wimbledon, but you don't always see it. You know what I mean? Accrington look like the team that they're doing it this year. They're coming out of the blocks firing. But yeah, conceding 25 seconds after half time was the gut.
And the thing with that as well is that four of them could have scored. That was the weird thing for me, is when the cross came in, there was three guys who missed it. The guy who hit it then hit the ball and the keeper saved it, and then obviously the guy taps it in. And as you said, I would love to. There's nothing, I can't think of anything better than, let's just say it almost didn't happen and get on with it. But we do have to find a way at home to put our stamp on the game, because at the moment it is now becoming a serious problem. We've got the best away record in the country, and the third, well, in our league, sorry, and the third worst home. And this is a hangover. That's not just been a little bit. This has been what? League One last year. We're now here. We, for whatever it is, whether it's we don't want to play on the front foot, whether it's we're too nice, whether it's the pitch is too nice, whether it's the fan situation, who were quiet until we scored and it was lively for 20 minutes and went dead again. I don't know what the answer is. I generally don't know. I'm sure they're looking at it, but that is going to become a huge problem that we're going to have to rectify. If, A, we want to grow as a fan club, getting people to come to the game when all they're doing is turning up and their team are losing and not playing with a lot of, I don't know, nous or heart or spirit at home. In particular, we've been a little bit bland. But also from a team, we're just going to sort of stagnate. And it is, I think that is a massive, massive problem.
Our home form's massive issue, to be fair. And I can't put my finger on it. We've discussed it before, Danny. What is it? The atmosphere was good on Tuesday. Do you know what I mean? There was, 7,000 there? I think 7,000 all went in the south stand by the sounds of it. But I think, yeah, is it because King's Meadow was on top of everyone and it was a nasty place to go? The change rooms wouldn't be as nice. But then, you know what I mean? We travel up and down the country to nice grounds. And do you know what I mean? Barrow can't have been nice on Saturday going up there, and in their change rooms ain't going to be Old Trafford, is it? It's something really worrying about our home form, and hopefully that they are looking at it and we will change it, because, yeah, it's what, one win at home in
and it's season. Not, it isn't just Jackson, by the way. This is the thing.
No, this is, yeah, about other managers,
apart
other
from
players.
The COVID year, when we moved into Plough Lane, we lost obviously Doncaster, but we had a really good run where we beat Ipswich and we beat a few other teams, and we were like, okay, we're actually at home, we're quite useful. From the minute the fans have been in that stadium, we have been pants.
So you're blaming the fans?
Home. Well, I'm not blaming the fans as such, but I feel that there must be part of it. Whether we don't create enough energy, whether we're a little bit, when things go bad, we don't quite get behind it. I don't know, but I'm open for that as a possibility. Absolutely.
I don't know. I just think it's one of the things. Graham, what do you think? Home form, and then we'll move on.
I think there have been reasons every year, like in League One, we went on a bad run. We didn't have a striker. Robbo was asked to play with kids. They probably felt expectation and pressure. You know, it was their first 10 games, 20 games in their career. So there was that. Last year, we didn't have great players and we were tactically yet. So we just lost or didn't win a lot of games in general. This year, I'm not sure, because they're not that young. We've got some more experienced players and we seem to have a set style of play. But as you say, so at home, is it the fans' expectations? Is it? You'd think they'd rise to the occasion. We've got to be quite a good bunch to play for as a fan base. We're a bit quiet.
You'd think, wouldn't you? You'd really think that.
Nice stadium, supportive fans in general. We stood by a manager who won a game in 1,000 or whatever. We're quite supportive. We didn't boo the players off too much. We didn't really put it on them. We're quite fairly supportive, fairly decent fan base, as fan bases go, I think. I don't know.
I think we stopped serving pizza, for one, because that's ridiculous, right? Two, we get loads of tifos and we get loads of pyro. Do you know what I mean? Proper make it like Galatasaray or something like that. And yeah, and make sure one thing we've got to make sure is that everyone sits in their appropriate seating as well. Right, we move on. And when we come back, we're going to be discussing the Don's Trust elections, the Don's Trust motions, everything to do with the Don's Trust.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We're back and we're going to be discussing everything to do with the Don's Trust. Quite a busy time at the moment for the Don's Trust. The Don's Trust are the owners of AFC Wimbledon, if you were not aware. We have the Don's Trust board elections coming up. They're looking for nominations for people to join the Don's Trust board. I think I'll ask Graham in a minute when that will close. We have the SGM that's coming out on the 1st of November. It will take place at 7:30 at Plough Lane. Any member wishing to process a resolution for consideration at the general meeting can do so. There's also motions being put forward. We've got Graham on who's put four motions towards the Don's Trust. I don't know the ins and outs, so I'm not that clever with regards to it. I know there's six motions. Graham's put four forward. I've seen the vote and no confidence one, and there's another one, but I've not got it in front of me. And there's a consultation about level of ownership of AFC Wimbledon. And I think that's looking at the 50 plus one aspect of that as well. These will be put out to members through emails and stuff. So please go on the surveys, fill them out. Please put a vote on the motions. If you want to stand for the Don's Trust elections, we'll discuss this soon. But yeah, please put your name forward. Can be a thankless task, but yeah. It is needed if we're going to have a solid election. Graham, or Danny, who wants to start?
I was just going to say, Graham, just briefly then, what's it like being in the Don's Trust in terms of being elected? What made you stand? And was it an experience you look back with fondness? Is it a frustrating position? Is it a misread position? Just give us your, where you sit with it or what it was like.
Yeah. Well, I stood because I thought the comms was pretty shite. And as a fan, I didn't know I felt like I wasn't being informed what was going on. And and then I was actually, I got elected and I joined at the AGM in December 2019, when it was that big announcement, like, oh, we're going to have to sell the club. We're going to get relegated. We can't afford to build a stadium. So it's an interesting time to be on.
Yeah.
As for how it was, I found our fan base pretty decent people, really, generally. Yeah. I find that I know people say, oh, you get a lot of dogs abuse and all that. But I've always found if you talk to people and listen to them and engage with them, they're pretty decent. And people come in saying, Don's Trust are shit, you're doing a shit job. And you say, well, why? How can we do it better? What do you think? And they'll have a conversation. And there's not that, just abuse and stuff. So I found it not too bad at all. I did it for 3 years.
Is it a tough job, Graham? It
can be, but it can be as well. It totally depends. I was with people on the board. There were people falling asleep in meetings at one point. There were people you wouldn't know if they were still around. We had to check on someone to check if they were well. I probably shouldn't say this, but has anyone checked in on recently?
Yeah.
Heard from them, and they were turning up to meetings and then sort of disappearing and not hearing from them between one monthly meeting to the next. But there are other people who basically I've known who have given up their or a portion of their working week in their day job, cut back days to dedicate to Don's Trust work. So it really does vary. I would say to anyone, go for it. If you think you can do good things, definitely stand and be the change you want to see or whatever. There's talk about, I would much rather they did this or did that, they shouldn't do this. Well, if you think so and people agree with you, get on there and do it.
And in terms of go on, Lee. Go.
No, go on. I was just going to update with regard to this year's elections and the current times and stuff like that.
I was ask about, in terms of, you mentioned the word change. And again, share what you want to share. Don't share what you want to share. I'm just intrigued. In terms of where we're at, and obviously you've put forward a few resolutions and stuff, do you feel that we're in a position where what do you think the club need? What do you think you would be, from a fan now, because obviously you've had a foot in that camp, you're now out of the camp. What do you think we need? Do we need stability? Do we need a bit of change? Do we need a change of direction? Do we need to freshen up? What do you think?
I think we could do things better.
Okay.
I think, again, with communication, I think we've had some problems over the last year. Fans Forum, like Forum Gate, as it was called, was a big thing where I personally felt the club had misled the fans and were being disingenuous over things. And I thought, that's not right. And that's not good enough. And then they're overseen by the PLC. And if the PLC don't act, I felt the PLC are fairly unaccountable. It's like, who do I email? I don't know if that many fans or members would actually know who's on the PLC. And I felt that was wrong. It's like, you know, if they're doing a terrible job, they've got to be held to account by the DTB. So we approached the DTB and said, will you represent us, the fans, that the members rather, that your job is to represent? Will you represent us and make the club not tell fibs and handle things badly? Will you get them to be better? And then there was a vote on the DTB about whether they wanted to, some would say, represent the fans or not. It was quite controversial at the time. The club did the right thing, released the video, but for me, it was never about the video. It was about don't gaslight the fans. And I think we could do things better. There's a joke about Man United executive is saying, oh, our fans always complain about the comms, don't know what to do. And the Spurs guy, ours always complain about bad comms. And the Wimbledon guy goes, oh, yeah, our fans complain about bad comms. We vote them onto the DTP and they're never heard of again. and you know, that probably includes me because I've been there and whatever, and we all stand on these comms tickets. And yet when it comes to it, we've been a bit lacking.
But you were, and again, I'm not going to blow smoke at your bum because you're on here, but you were one of the guys who was quite happy to come out and have a conversation. And it seemed to be, and again, firstly, thank you for the time that you gave up, because as me and Lee will wax lyrical on it, we're not as, I don't know, au fait with all the bits and pieces, but you were someone who was very happy to come out and not even be judgmental. You were just quite factual, which I think was really important. You didn't give us an opinion. You just gave us the facts and you let us decide whether we thought it was good, bad or indifferent, which was hugely valuable. And I think that's one of the interesting things is from my perspective is just, I don't necessarily really want to hear what you think. I want to know what is going on. I want it laid out and then I will decide, or we as a group will decide. But there is just that always that thing, and I'll shut up in a minute, but there is always just that disconnect. I just find it fascinating. And me and Lee talk about that. I'm part of the Don's Trust, but I don't feel part of anything. I don't feel connected in any way, which is weird that I was there for the first game. I've been a season ticket holder every year. I was a Wimbledon season ticket holder since, you know, started the Premier League pretty much. And yet I feel totally disconnected from something that I probably should be right in the middle of. I'm 40 years old. I'm a teacher. I've got pockets of time, expertise in different places, but yet feel totally disconnected. And I don't quite know why, if I'm honest, but there we are. Anyway,
I think that's where, that's exactly, you know, first of all, I did stand on that ticket. So, you know, it wasn't like kind of, yeah, it was something I wanted to see happen. So, as I said, if you want to make that change, you know, be that change, whatever.
Yeah.
So that was my thing. And we introduced like Meet the DTP, because I mean, before that, I didn't know anyone was on the DTP particularly, the newsletter, all that kind of stuff. And it's all about, to me, it's about presenting what you're doing in a way that people, the reader, can digest, whether that's video, whether that's reading something really long and detailed and sort of, you know, info heavy, or whether it's putting something in layman's terms and plugging it on Twitter and getting it out there. And I don't think we've been doing that as well as we could do. And I think that's a shame. I think ultimately owning a football club should be sexy as.
Yeah.
Sexy as. And we can make it that. And then we'll grow the Don's Trust membership that way. And, you know, get people like you a bit more engaged, because, you know, I think we've got to almost spoon feed you. It's not your job to go looking for what the Don's Trust board do. And I think sometimes, I think the current Don's Trust board have got some great people on it doing some great work, but we're having to guess that's what's happening, because we're not being told. And I think it's, you know, tell us more often in different formats. And come back to your original question, what needs to change? I think the PLC, and this comes back to my motions really, need to be more accountable, because again, they're running the club. If something goes wrong, which it has done recently in quite a high profile way, We need to hear from these guys. We need to know we're in safe hands. We need to know there's a steady hand on the tiller.
Yeah.
And it's you know, when was the last time you heard from the PLC? It was at Fansgate, because the fans forum, because we pushed for it. We shouldn't have to.
Am I still right, Graham, in saying that we've still not, with regards to the stuff you're talking about there, with regards to Danny Macklin leaving, am I right in still saying that we've not heard from Chris Stewart, who's now the new MD, regarding that, who was the Don's Trust chair? We've not heard from Mike Buckley regarding this as well. They've both got in jobs. Chris has got in now the MD, appointed by Mike Buckley. Mike Buckley is now the chair of the club, but was appointed by Chris Stewart. And I get you, I know you can't 100% say, you're looking at me with, do you know what I mean, and biting your hand, but this is where I fall down with it, and this is where I get annoyed. It just seems like sometimes the job's for the boys, you know what I mean? I'm just a mere fan who is thick as they come and don't need to know all the details. So just shut your mouth, pay your money and go watch Wimbledon. You don't need to know that. And can you please stop being a nuisance to us and asking these questions? And that's where, like, at the moment we had, what is it, Freddie Flaxman came on the board, and then he just disappeared and didn't know why. It was a conflict of interest, but no one knew. Do you know what I mean? Again, everyone championed this guy, and then he just disappeared. Matt Lowndes recently, who Matt, I know very well, I've had beers with Matt at games, has gone. His sister raised a point the other day saying no one has asked why Matt has left. But again, I don't think it's the fans' reasons to go, well, why have you left, Matt? That should be coming out anyway. Why has he left? Do you know what I mean? Good people are leaving the board. We've got people, yeah, that's for me. I hope I've not put you in it too much there.
No, I won't comment on everything, but I think, you know, people are probably quite busy at the moment. But there is a motion, again, I think it's number 9, not from me, that one, funnily enough, asking about the process for replacing the club chair, who is Mick Buckley. And I think there are valid points within it. I didn't write it. I'm not sort of backing it, particularly on behalf of other people. I'll let them do that. But, you know, he was given a year from, I think, last November. We were then told there'll be some sort of analysis of the position, because it's a part-time, two-day-a-week position. The gist was, do we need a club chair? Because at the time, we've got a head of football operations, we've got an MD in place, they report to a PLC. Do we need that extra layer or not? Yes, probably while these guys, the new guys, bed in. But do we need one on an ongoing basis? Can it be done in, I think, is part-time, 2 days a week? Is it a paid position? Is it a volunteer position? There's all this kind of like, and I think Mick's job was to, in tandem with the PLC or the Don's Trust Board, look at the position and see how viable it was it necessary and all that kind of thing, and give us a report. And that didn't happen. And we were pushing for that, I think, sort of 10, 11 months into his tenure. And then obviously things happened that changed things. But the motion number 9, I think it is actually saying we want to see the process for putting a club chair in. His Mick's stay has been extended to the spring.
Joe, who does all our graphics for the podcast, alluded the other day, saying, when did that happen? It got announced and no one's really spoke about it and stuff like that. And who made the decision to say, yes, you've been extended? Is he still doing the 2 days a week? Is that what he believes is still best for a full-time football club chairman? And as I said, for me, he hasn't mentioned the stuff that's gone on lately, which for me, very surprising for chairman of the Don's Trust, and the PLC board have been very quiet on stuff like that. And that's why I think some of the motion 3 is a good motion, but not at this time, unfortunately.
Right. So I think they're all valid questions. Why, you know, you should be hearing about these. You should be knowing about these, not HR details and, you know, the intricacies of.
Yeah.
Happened, but you should be knowing who has put him in that position and why and so forth. You talked about voter no confidence, motion 3, which again, yes, isn't what mine, but you know.
I the voter no confidence for me is a good motion.
Lee, elaborate what you mean by it, because I spoke to a couple of fans yesterday who were a bit bewildered with what the actual content of it. So can you just...
That's the problem I have. That's the problem I have with it. Sorry. Do you get what I mean? Because a vote of no confidence in the Don's Trust board maybe a few months ago, yes, but not right now when we're going to be holding elections soon and we're going to have 6 new people coming on the board. So again, I think, who was it? Mark Hendricks wanted to do a vote of no confidence just before the last elections, which again is the wrong time. Everything that he was saying was probably correct. And Marcus Villafield and kind of disappeared off Twitter for a little while, and he hasn't been as vocal regarding Wimbledon and stuff, which is a shame. Not everyone agree with Mark. We've had him on the pod, and not a lot of stuff I agree with him, but I could speak to him and we could have different opinions. But at this time, when there is elections and there's going to be, as I said here, three will be elected to serve 3-year terms and three to serve 2-year terms of minimum of six members are going to be voted on the board. For me, I don't think a vote of no confidence when you're voting new people on the board. My worry is for the next election, we're not going to get enough people that want to stand. So it's going to be an uncontested election, which is not good for a football club when you're a fan-owned.
So the vote of no confidence, right? And I'm just trying to summarise it for my sanity, to be honest. Is the vote of no confidence about the individuals that are working for the Dons Trust and saying, we do not have confidence in you as a Dons Trust? Or is it a vote of no confidence to say the way that our model is to have a Dons Trust being in charge doesn't work? Which one is it?
No, it's a vote of no confidence in the current Dons Trust board.
Fine. So the motion is not about the model that we have as an ownership model. No. It is actually individual. Okay. Which I certainly agree with you. Timing's terrible.
And that's what I mean. I get Matt's point in raising it, and I get what he means behind it, and I stand with him regards to everything that he's saying. But at the moment, we have to wait till the elections, then see who is then voted on to the Dons Trust board.
Yeah, but the best vote of no confidence should be your vote, shouldn't it, really?
But the problem I've got, Danny, is we're going to hold an election and we're asking people to stand for the election. I'm not hearing of many people willing to stand for the Dons Trust board at the moment. We might not get anyone who wants to stand. And last time, I understand, and this is just my understanding, my opinion, so I could be false here, a lot of people stood last minute because they were so worried about the people standing in regards to selling out the club. So we didn't have enough people, and they were like, oh, wait a minute, there's 3 or 4 people here that want to sell the club. We need to stand to make sure that doesn't happen. And that's why I said last time the elections was a sham. The whole thing for me is always a sham. I get loads of stick for this and I don't care, but the pro boards is
you will sit on the fence won't you?
No, but when it comes to something like this, I'm quite passionate about it, and I'm not really want to be a Dons Trust board member because I hate all the politics. I want to go watch my team play. I want to have a podcast where me and you just chat and have a laugh. Graham comes on and we dig out his hair, but it's just, for me, people on the pro boards, you go on there, there's some people in the Dons Trust board that never go on there, never answer a question. Do you know what I mean? I just get bored of it and then don't go on there much. You get nomads who answer questions for them, and I'm like, I don't care what you think. I want to know what the Dons Trust board think. Do you know what I mean? But that's just...
Well, I think there's a lot to unpack there, but I think there's a couple of different...
Sorry, Graham.
But the first, on the vote of no confidence, I don't think it's necessarily the convention that everyone has to resign and stand down and you have no board. I think it's more of a... I didn't write it. I'm not behind it, whatever, particularly. But it's more of a marker to say, you've done bad things. We don't accept that. Here we go. And it's Mark Hendricks, when he put together or started or mooted a vote of no confidence, I think it's between SGMs where you have to get like 350 people to sign it. Now, to do it at an SGM, you only have to get 5 people to second it. So it's a lot easier. So that's why I think he didn't actually go through with it, because getting 350 is quite a task. Getting 5 can be. But I don't think it's dissolve the board. It's nothing to do with the model. It's saying things like it mentions misleading the fan base over the fans forum recording. Members of the DPTP voted against representing members, so that can't be allowed to happen. So I think it's more of a black mark against.
It's almost like we want an admission of guilt to a certain extent.
We want someone
to go, you know what, this has been poor, and we want to acknowledge it. I can understand why.
The Dons Trust board never helped themselves, though. It's like with the Danny Macklin stuff again. We're not going to go into everything regarding that, but the recording was Danny Macklin's, I believe, idea not to release the recording, because it was him that said that we were only going to release a certain amount of it, and then didn't want it released. I think it's between him and Mike Bailey. I'm not sure the ins and outs, but. So that if that was Danny Macklin's decision, that's fine. But the Dons Trust then voted on it to kind of lead them to say, look, we need to record it. And some of them abstained and stuff. I think Michelle voted against it and stuff, and they have their reasons. But that's what I mean. The Dodge Trust are meant to represent the fans, and I think a lot of people are thinking, well, actually, that ain't the case. There was loads of people saying, you need to release the video, and then they were like, no, we're not going to. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you're getting hundreds of thousands of fans. Well, I say hundreds of thousands, about a couple hundred people nowadays. And this is my worry about the next elections and this stuff now, is people joining the Dodge Trust. I think it's going to be such low numbers now. It's a worry that we're going to have only 50. And I think someone made a point the other day, I don't always agree with them, I think it might have been Ratters on Twitter, saying that you've got MK fans that can join the Dons Trust at £25 a go now and can have a vote. But you've got people that bought shares and seeders and put thousands in over the in the club shop on season tickets that don't have a vote because they're just done in with the Dons Trust. I'm getting people coming up to me all the time going, I'm literally not going to renew my Don's Trust anymore because I'm just finding it pointless.
I was going to ask you, Graham, in terms of the way that people join the Don's Trust. Mm-hmm. Again, there's no load on it. I'm just curious, have we got it right, do you think? Have we got it right in terms of you should pay this additional extra money, and for 25 quid, you could almost be a Christmas present and you own a football club? Or do you feel like there is a when maybe not getting the full voice of the club because those people who are the people, the everyday Wimbledon fan, maybe not necessarily be represented. Where do you sit with that?
Right. So much. Election nominations. People do stand.
Please stand.
They stand. Yeah. They close on Saturday, October 28th. So please stand, first of all. If we don't have a contested election, it's a nightmare. People won't have a mandate, and who knows what they're doing, if it's in representing anyone or not. I don't know. When it comes to membership, it's been mooted that if you get season ticket, for example, you get DT membership automatically. Now, I believe a lot of people don't care about the politics. They buy a season ticket, they want to go and watch football. I'd rather have an engaged membership.
Okay.
That actually want to make decisions and be part of that process and so forth. So £25, I think, is probably about right. It's not a massive amount. For some people, it's probably, you know, it's a cost of living crisis, so it is a consideration, but I think it's probably about right. I and then when we do want to pass restricted actions and so forth, like this debt survey thing that's going on, you need 75%. And it would be an absolute nightmare if you had any Tom, Dick and Harry off the street who had ever bought a club, a shirt in the shop, anyone who'd ever bought a scarf on their holidays or whatever, as a Don's Trust member, trying to get 75% to vote on something would be a nightmare. We've just done a survey where I think we got 1,000 votes, which I think was a good number. On one of the gambling thing, out of 4,000 fan members, we got 1,000 people to vote, and I think that's not bad numbers. And people say, "Oh, it'd be better if it were more." Of course, but when there's something really important happens, like selling the 25% of shares in the club, then I would rather have people paying attention almost and active, and who want to be members and have a say in that sort of decision. Going back to Lee, so I've so many things to go back on from.
That's right, man. That's right.
But you talked about pro boards, and that's another one of my motions, is getting pro boards used by Don's Trust board members more regularly, like on a rota. I'm not asking for by the minute responses, but I think some sort of service level where, yes, we do commit to checking it every day. We do commit to getting back to you if a member asks a question, and with a bit of moderation as well. So it's not like the Wild West where people just call each other names and stuff. I think one of the things that makes our club so beautiful is that is pro boards is a perk. It's not the best thing website in the world, but it's what we've got. And you or me can go up and ask a question of the board, the people who oversee our club, and get a reply within, you know, a day or two or whatever it is. And I think that's a great perk to ownership. And again, coming back to, should we charge £25 to be a member? The Don's Trust board, again, I think it should be so sexy being able to do that, being able to talk to the people overseeing our club.
Because this is my thing on the pro boards, it says ask the board, and if, to me, that's me asking the board a question, and I'm expecting answers from the board. Then you get answers from Joe Bloggs. Comes on and goes, and I'm like, I don't care what you think. I really don't. You're just going off what I've asked. Yep. You might not agree with me what I'm asking, and you might, but just let them answer it. And that's what I think. One big issue for me with Wimbledon and Wimbledon fans, and I think a lot of people have this way, especially our younger fans, is it's very fractious support. I find that if your opinion is sometimes it's just some people's opinions, not mine, not yours, not Dave, sorry, but other people. It's just blow like, no, you're young, you ain't got a clue what you're talking about, or do you know what I mean? And stuff like that. And there's certain cliques within Wimbledon, and they just try and discredit each group all the time. And it's just
rose has its thorns.
And it really is becoming wearing and annoying. Do you know what I mean? And people might say, oh, what me and Danny say, and we get it, I get it quite a bit. But like, do you know what I mean? You're just talking nonsense. It's like, yeah, that's fine, but that's my opinion. I chat with you, and we've said it, me and Danny have said it so many times. If anyone has any issues and stuff, come on the pod and then just say, I think you're completely wrong. And I'd say, okay, that's fine, let's talk about it then. But yeah, I think there's too many groups within Wimbledon that all have to be right, and they won't let anyone else's opinion be heard. And it just leads to just absolute shit show sometimes.
This, again, it comes back to, on Pro Board specifically, having people answer questions like from the Don's Trust Board. If they do that, hopefully no one else is going to say, well, that hasn't been answered for 3 days. I'll jump in and give my two pence worth. You know, you should have that direct line almost. And that's what the motion is about. It's saying, go on there, moderate it. And answer questions that are asked of you within, you know, a reasonable time. Don't go on there every 2 minutes and use all your time up doing that. You've got jobs, you know, got better things to do, I'm sure. But a reasonable service level, I think that would be a great perk. Might even get you back on the get back signing up as a member.
Right? Another one I've got for you, right, Graham? And this is a thing I had, is the SGMs on 1st of November, Wednesday, 7:30.
Yep.
Is this after the motions are being heard, or
the motions are heard at the SGM,
right? Which is,
you can vote online now,
but is that not a bit weird? And also, one of the issues I have as well is that the Don's Trust have now every single motion they've advised not to vote on.
Yeah, that's weird. I find that weird.
I find that very strange, because should they not be given that advice? That, again, this is someone who's very, very stupid with regards to politics and this kind of
you
thing.
You are stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, well, ask me why. But I find it very strange that they're saying do not vote on anything regards to, but that shouldn't be their opinion. Is that, that's my thing.
I think they're entitled to do that. It's a bit like, you know, oh, okay, well, if you're, I've put in a motion about meet the PLC, right? Two a year where you meet the people on the PLC, like we do meet the DTB. It's just PLC answering questions live on Zoom, blah, 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 have a chat. It's a win-win, I think, for the PLC to get out there, because people will get behind them. If you know someone, you get behind them a bit more. And if you don't know them, and they make, you know, they're basically running the club nowadays. If you don't know them, don't know what they're doing, you're likely to be a bit suspicious. So I'm saying this is a win-win. It's great for the PLC members. It's great for us to support them, make it happen. It's not a big deal. The DTB's response is to say, yes, we're going to do that. Great idea. But we recommend you don't vote for this motion. And I find that very strange. And I'm not sure if, again, I'm being thick, and there's some sort of convention where the convention is you say no, don't vote for it, even when you seemingly agree with it. They're actually saying we're going to do that and more. Great, brilliant, do it. Don't vote it. I think everyone should vote for it so that it's set in stone. So then otherwise in a year or two, anyone could turn around from the Don's Trust Board and say, well, they voted against it, there's no appetite, so let's just stop it. Whereas in reality, people have been told to vote against it because it's happening.
Yeah, so and this is why I find it strange that people have been allowed to vote and do postal votes before the SGM, because it should be discussed at the SGM and then voted on.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, they've put their argument. I'm going to go to the SGM on the... but if you do want to vote online because you can't make it, you can do before noon on Monday, October the 30th. It's in your email. The link, and you just click on it and go yes, 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Is that your ones? Yeah.
Yeah, I asked for 5, 6, 7, 8 as a steps tribute, but yeah, I've got emotion about that. But yeah, so then it will be discussed on the night. I think, you know, I'll be there. I'll say vote yes, please. Hopefully, convince people. If not, you know what? So be it. I think.
Again, yeah, 100%. If it's not there, then it's not there. But at least you can go and have a viewpoint on it. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's one of the perks of being an owner. You get this opportunity to... I'm surprised more people don't raise motions, because lots of people...
I've had this discussion with Xavier, and Xavier said the exact same to me. Xavier Wiggins, who was on the Don's Trust Board as well previously, does loads of good work with DLAG and stuff like that. Been going for years. I get on really well with Xavier. And he said, I don't get why people don't raise motions. And he talked to me about raising one myself, going to something else. No one knows how to do it. That is my issue with it. No, I didn't know how to do it. I know you have to get four or five members to then any member can do it, like, and then it gets raised. But I don't think enough people know how. Dan, would you know how to raise a motion to the Dutch?
I wouldn't even. I'm not being stupid. I'm not stupid. Like,
and you're a bright man. You're a teacher.
In terms of emotion, what are you actually talking about? Are you talking about something that we would do, like, I want to have a motion that every week now we do a newsletter? Is it every, yeah, I want to have a, so could, the one thing for me is I'd like us to be more diverse as a group. I feel like at the moment, and I'd be really, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If we seem quite white, we seem quite old. I feel there's a lot of younger fans who've got a lot of information. I feel that there's a youth, people who've got energy, people like George who comes on, who, you know, Posh Jamie, who've got wonderful ideas, who really have bought into the process, but don't really feel like they've...
To be fair...
I feel like there's... We need to have a... And it is, it's back to what Graham said, though. Do you want to be more diverse? Who do you want six people who are prepared to do it and really commit to it? And it's like, ideally, in a perfect world, you'd want, you know, you'd want all the demographics ticked and they're all in one committee and they're all working hard. But if you're not going to have that, you're going to want to have six, eight, however many the number is, who are totally committed. So it's, yeah, but that's, yeah. I just feel like younger fans don't seem to be confident enough to put something forward.
To be fair, I know that you might know, Graham, but I'm sure I saw something recently that they have done a youth Don's Trust.
Yep, yep.
And three people have been put onto that, three young lads, I believe it is.
I think it's DTB Youth, and I think it's Richard Shepherd's sort of leading the scheme.
Lovely, fantastic.
Opinions of these guys. I think, coming back to the motion, well, I mean, we can make that right now. Anyone wants to put in a motion at an SDM, you need to write to secretary@thedonstrust.org. You need to explain what you want to do. It could be like, I want to see four Meet the Managers held every year. Instruct the club, please, as the Don's Trust. And these five people who are members have agreed. Here's their name and Don's Trust number. Send it to the secretary and it's done. And
that's, yeah, that's, it's. I've got it in front of me now because obviously we were having this chat, so I brought it up. So any member wishing to propose a resolution for consideration at the general meeting can do so with support of five other Don's Trust members. Submit in writing by email to secretary@thedonstrust.org. And that needs to be done. That would have had to be done 28 days prior to the SGM. So that was the 4th of October.
And Graham, from a person when you were in the Don's Trust, would you welcome resolutions? Is it something that you want to see, or is it
absolutely
not?
Absolutely. I would, personally.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I think I want to hear it from the people who have elected me to represent them. And particularly because of the ticket I stood on, was I want to, you know, make the Don's Trust board transparent and engage with you and two-way comms. I want, and it's not up to me what we do as a club. It's up to you. You're the owners. I'm just representing you. So this comes back, if I may, to my final motion seven, which is people on the Don's Trust board from this election now will be voted on for, well, it's transitioning to three-year terms. Right. This one, you don't know if you're on to a two or three because it's mid-transition, I think. But the idea is it moves to 3 years. I think that's way too long. That came in last year. I think we all make mistakes. We took our eye off the ball, whatever. Let's put it back to two, because if people aren't doing a good job, you want to get them off. And that's, you know, people are saying, why don't people resign? I'll vote you off at the next election. But if they're on and they do a terrible job and they don't represent the members, they're there for 3 years. You can't do much about it now. And also, and people might say, oh, but we want to keep good people. I said, well, every 2 years you re-elect them. If they're doing a good job, re-elect them.
Yeah.
They're there to pursue their own agenda. They're there to represent the members who have voted them on. So I would, would I welcome a motion? Yeah. All sort of engagement and knowing what the members think. And they might not pass. They might pass. They might not. But, you know, there's no elephants in the room. You've discussed it in a formal manner. It's been done. What can you lose? I might end up having to do something I don't particularly think was a good idea, but it's not up to me. It's up to those 4,000 who voted for it.
And I guess if someone puts a motion, at least it shows that there's someone who's interested, who's got something that, and a lot of these people might be having a chat and they've been chatting around in a pub, and it could be a pub chat, and you go, oh God, but you've got your five mates who are, you know, all bats of boys or whatever, they all chat in a pub, well, go on in, I'll put it forward. But, and again, I guess, for every good one, you're going to get some bad ones, but it's good to hear that people are keen to hear, not necessarily change, but developmental feedback, because I think feedback's crucial. And I think it's something that we can definitely do. And I just, I think that's fascinating. That's really
interesting. I'm not into this one-way communications. People say, we communicate via this. And it's like, a column in the SLP, the South London Press. And I think, why do I have to go to the South London Press to hear news of the organisation?
Definitely.
And B, you're talking at me. I've got no reply here. I've got no sort of feedback mechanism. So I think that's, coming back to pro boards, why I think that's kind of special to have that, and why members' resolutions, to get these things in a meeting discussed openly by everyone. And then if they're bad ideas, they don't get voted through.
No, I agree. And I agree with your motion there regarding the 2-year, 3-year thing, because you're right. If someone's doing a really terrible job and we think they are, we vote them off. And that's the whole idea of the Donors Trust, that you vote off the people that you think are terrible, and then you vote on the people that you think are doing well. And if they're doing well, you keep them on. I just wanted to go through that because we're running out of time a little bit, so we might not be able to get onto the consultation of the ownership. But yeah, the Don's Trust youth kind of thing, 16 to 24 year old advisory group. It was Jasper McNulty, Oscar Nathan, and Ben Louis who have joined that now. So that's brilliant. That's good to see that the club are taking on board, and well done to the three people that put themselves forward and are taking an active angle into the club at such a young age. It's brilliant. And as you said, Danny, we've had people on here, Jamie, Posh Jamie, and
George.
George is brilliant. And they should be involved in the club more. I think we're going to have to move on, but I don't think we're going to be able to get on the consultation at the moment, unfortunately, because we've been rattling on for 35 minutes regarding this, and we've got to come back and preview the massive game against Morecambe. So we'll do that. If you want to know anything regarding the consultation survey and stuff like that, it is on the Don's Trust website, donstrust.org. There's stuff on there. There's a Q&A on there as well about the level of ownership of the Don's Trust. So get on there, read that, go through everything, ask questions to the Don's Trust. They are at games and try and put stuff on pro boards and hope that you get an answer back. But yeah. Right, Graham, thanks very much for answering them questions. It's been really insightful and do appreciate it.
Really good.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Well, we'll be back. And when we come back, we'll be discussing the massive game away to Morecambe on Saturday.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
So we're back for the final part of the episode, and we're going to be discussing what turns out going to be a massive game now on Saturday, away to Morecambe. Another long journey, not an easy one to get to. Guessing the team wouldn't have trained much this week due to the fact that we had Barrow, then Accrington, and then now Morecambe. They'll probably go up when this comes out on Friday. It's going to be a very tough game. Morecambe are doing all right. Danny, what are your thoughts to start off, and then we'll go to Graham?
Well, I was very fortunate to speak to one of their podcasts, Shrimps Live, lovely fella, really nice guy. And he, we had a long chat about them. He was waxing lyrical about Morecambe, and I wish them well for the rest of the season, apart from when they play us, obviously. Says they're basically a very young side. They've almost done the same model as when we got relegated, when we wanted to stay in League One. They've basically had all of their money's gone. They've got a lot of off the field problems with the guy who, he's the guy who's involved at Worcester Rugby, I believe. And they basically have someone who will try to buy the club. They're looking for a buyer. So they're a little bit of a spot of bother. But he says that their team at the moment are excellent. They won 1-0 on Tuesday. So they are absolutely flying. It's a good home versus away. My challenge, which is exactly what you just started with, was our lot look a bit knackered. I think the only certainties are, I think Billa will start. That's a certainty. I think the keeper starts. I think the two centre-backs start. I'd love to know what happened to Sasu, because I think he is on for a start, definitely. I'm excited. I'm actually going, which is good. I'm getting another one.
You're going up there, yeah?
I'm driving up, yeah. I'm going up with my mate Dan. So if anyone is absolutely desperate for a lift, I'm going to drive up and drive back. So you can you can try and convince me to give you a lift if you want.
Before I come to Graham, I was looking to go on Saturday, and I look at the train fares. It is ridiculous nowadays. The train company's got it sorted out. £128 return from London to Morecambe. I've got to get it from Southend to London. That's another £25. So I'm looking at £150 before I've even bought a ticket or any food and drink.
And but, why is it all? It's all ticket as well. Like, why would you make Wimbledon all? I've had to buy the ticket. I bought it on Tuesday. I've got to pick it up from the club on Friday, I believe, because there's not a chance I'm letting the club send it up to Morecambe And then me and Dan go up there and be like, oh, where's our
also, the thing as well is they've never stuck us behind the goal. They always stick us in the side because we don't. I think we've sold 220 tickets so far, which is a good effort to go Morecambe, especially after Barrow. But yeah, I've been to Morecambe. It weren't very nice. Pub across the Morecambe statue's a good one if you're going to go to a pub before the game. Danny, any Wimbledon fan, go to the pub across from the Morecambe statue in Morecambe. But, Graham, what do you think on Saturday?
In terms of lineup?
Well, what was your thoughts?
What do you think?
I think, you know, the game that happened the other day, we've forgotten about, that didn't happen and all that. So we're off the back of a decent point at Barrow. But I didn't realise that they were, I mean, it surprised me that they're above us, but I think they've played two less games.
Yeah.
1-7, whereas we've drawn 7. So, it sounds like they're a bit more attacking than we are, potentially. I think, as you said, we've got to end before this becomes a bad run. I think if we can nip that in the bud, a point's probably good, like as it was for Barrow, is probably not a bad thing. We'd probably take that, wouldn't we?
I think so, because
of the results, we need 3 points.
Yeah, but we need 3 points for what, though? Because if we're not talking about being going up in the playoffs and we're a mid-table team, then we don't have to get it.
I'll take a draw if the performance is good. If we're decent, I'll take a draw. But we need 3 points, Danny, because we need to get 1 3 points back on the board for our form, because we just said before at the start, our form's dipping. Is it going to be a crisis soon? A point ain't good enough when you've played 3 games. You've only got 1 point, 2 points out of that. As I said, I'll take a point if we play really well. And it's like, well, actually, we should have got all three there, and we've got away of a point away from Morecambe. Do you know what I mean? But if we draw and it's not very good and it's 0-0 again, it's a different mindset, isn't it, really?
I mean, what do we need to see as a fan base? What, forget that, if you want to name players or whatever, that's fine. But what do we need to see
from on Saturday?
Yeah.
Christmas.
I mean, generally hold off till Christmas, get a striker in. Yeah. Just on Saturday.
Just go to the Winchester and turn the whole thing off, yeah.
I think we need to see them not run riot over us and us not have a tactical meltdown. And that would be a good start. You know, because they're a decent side by the looks of things, form-wise and results-wise. I do think a point, but I'm loath to say keep go up there, keep it solid, and do sort of, you know, Jackson ball of last year, sort of 10 men behind the ball and all that, because I don't think I'd live through it. I think just a solid performance and hit them on the counter. Don't get overrun. And if we do get overrun, show us that you've got some nous and you can change in the game. I'd be more than happy to see that.
I'm struggling with a starting lineup for Saturday. I really am, because Evans doesn't come back in for me. He goes on the bench. I don't know. Does Nerfield come back in and Tilly? Tilly really needs to find form again. Did we go four? I think we'll go 4-4-2. I think the only change will be Biller right back. I think he'll be the same centre backs. Curry left. I think we'll go Nerfield, Tilly, and then Reeves, Thing, and then Bugle and Ali up front. Worry is, are we flogging Ali again like we did at the end of last season? But I've gone on the prediction thing, which is now going to be on our link tree, which will get posted out every Friday morning when the podcast gets posted out, because Danny kept sending it to me and I kept forgetting, or was, sorry, busy with work. I'm double busy at the moment with work, to be fair.
Yeah, of course you are.
But yeah, it will be out all the time. But I've gone for a 1-1 draw. I think it will be. A draw's not a great result for me at the moment with the last two results. But yeah, I think 1-1.
I think a team that realistically are two games in hand, and they're one. The thing as well that's annoying is they played two games less. And let's be honest, they've probably played a team who had international duty, which we haven't, and we've obviously had Ali. The challenge is, it's going to be too easy to just go, well, it's just one more game. And you know, it's always like, oh, it's just one more game, it's just one more game. Personally, I think he'll play Biller at right back. I think he'll play Curry, and I think he'll do the two centre backs. I personally would drop Little for Ball. And I think on Saturday in particular, they are a counter-attacking team. I would be very, very tempted. I mean, let's be honest, Bougie, when he plays away from home, he drops very deep. He's almost a part of a five. So I personally would like to see Ball with Reeves, who, by the way, after our chat, he was terrible on Tuesday, I thought, Reeves. I thought he just very rarely has a bad game, and like I said, Graham has written the game off, which is the right thing to do. But I thought he was poor, and I think he'll come back into it. For me, Tilly is the one that needs to sit out. I think Tilly needs to have a rest now. Nurfil was freshened up. I think Tilly needs to rest, or Jackson needs to grow a pair and switch them occasionally, because we keep almost every week. We just have Tilly on the right and Nerf on the left, and it's just constant. And they need to actually go, well, we're just going to change it a bit. Yeah. Just to keep a team guessing. Even the first 10 minutes of Morecambe, go, if you're going to play Nerf and Tilly, right, you two swap. Because the problem is we become so narrow, and we rely on that fullback to be the person who's going to kick it down the line and cross it, because Nerfel doesn't want to use his wrong foot. Tilly can, but obviously doesn't want to. But I would be resting Tilly. I'd play Nerfel. Evans goes back on the bench for me. And I'm so loath to play Ali. I really am. But I would be tempted with Davison to start, with Ali coming on in the second half. And nice. I'd give him 45 minutes. The reason for me as well, I've not been up there, but as I said to you, the problem I'm going to have is when these grounds get thick and it's going to be horrible weather and stuff like that, it doesn't suit. We want to get the ball down and pass, and this is not going to be suiting us. If they've got a thick pitch, it's heavy. Ali's already knackered. My worry is that if we lose him for a longer period of time, we are in a world of trouble. So I would be being cautious. I'd start Davison. Bearing in mind as well, we're happy with a draw. So Davison, I think, is a great striker if you're protecting something. I don't think he's a goal-scoring striker, but I think if you're one up or you're 0-0 and you're happy, he'll just run, and he's not gonna go shy on you. He's not gonna go lame. And I would keep it tight for 60 minutes and go, right, Ali, go win us a game of football.
We're only happy with a draw if we play well, Graham.
Yeah, but I don't think we can play worse than what we've played on Tuesday.
No, that's true.
I couldn't agree more about swapping wingers. So, long been a bugbear of mine. It's like, leave someone up when you're defending a corner every time.
Correct, please. Definitely.
And then the days of, is it Wise and Fair? I'm showing my age here. Wise and Fairway, they're swapping over. And it's just like, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? It just gives them something to think about.
It's ridiculous. It's 10 minutes gone. I haven't got the ball. Where are you? Come over here. Just to give the defender something to think about, he's played against Tilly. He's worked out his right footed. Now you've got Nerfil. Oh, well, which way does he want to go? I've never understood why wingers don't interchange. You see it on the telly all the time. I just don't understand. Again, though, it does come back to that rigidity. Like, this is the handbrake. This is what we do, and we play, and our wingers are inverted almost because our fullbacks overlap. And I just, yeah, I don't really get it. But I think a draw would be brilliant. I'm not convinced we're going to get one. And I'm going to have to think about my prediction, because I'm either going to be 2-0 Morecambe or 1-1. I think it's a two-goal game. I don't know. If Ali starts, we've got more chance of scoring, but I'm absolutely terrified. The one thing I'd love to see, though, is Sasu play up front.
We don't know if Sasu's going to be there.
That's what I'm saying. But I'd like, if you're going to play a striker, I'd be tempted with Sasu up front. And just go, right, come on in.
One thing I'd like to see is our club comms improve, telling us where players are. Do you know what I mean? We just heard that Quinn Bartley's just been sent back from King's Lynn because he fancied Dubai instead of going to Weymouth away or something, I think it was. Do you know what I mean? They've released a local rag of release saying, yeah, he got sent back because he was meant to be playing, said he was ill, and then got pictured in Dubai. But our
can
club,
imagine being in his car on the motorway, and it's like, left to Weymouth, right to Dubai.
The club haven't told us that he's been recalled or he's been sent back or anything. So Quinn Bartley could be in the equation on Saturday. Graham, what's your prediction? If Danny's going for 2-0 loss if he's starting Davison, and he's going for 1-0 if Ali plays. What's yours?
Well, we're not scoring that many. Well, we did score, but I'm thinking it's 0-0. I think we'll
clock. Oh, I can't drive 11 hours for a 0-0.
I know.
Please be a 0-0. I love that. No shots on goal.
Jackson doesn't want another defeat on his his run. It didn't want his run to go that bad. I think against the team that could do us damage, he'll probably put the brakes on.
Part of me really wants it to be 0-0 now, not a shot on
target all game. 0-0 not a shot on target all game worse than a 1-0 loss, where at least you've seen a goal?
I mean, a 1-0 loss is worse because you lose the game. And
I know he's lost, but I want it to be the
worst game ever.
I'm happy to. I've got great company in the car. I'm going to have a lovely time.
And you're going with Dan Lewis?
Going with Dan Lewis. Yeah, Trond. We're gonna live the dream. We're going up at God knows what time in the morning. So
It's a good day out, Morecambe. It's a good day out. The ground, Stuart.
You've not been with Dan, have you?
Stuart's are arseholes as well out there, to be fair.
Oh, don't be like that.
They are. They were wrong.
You should put a motion in. That's what you should do.
And we got run out of Morecambe in a taxi by some 14-year-old kids, but that was good. Right, what, anyway.
Were they talking about your hair, were they?
Yeah, no. Taking the piss out of Graham's mum, man bun, and we weren't having it.
No, anyway, don't ever go to Graham's mum.
It's man bun, not mum.
Have you ever got Graham's mum? I was a bit out of it.
Too far.
Graham's mum. All right, there you go.
Graham. Absolute pleasure for you to join us tonight. Been very, very good. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks, Graham.
Cheers, guys. Nice.
Danny,
one.
Thanks again. Enjoy the trip to Morecambe. I will be watching. Well, hopefully. Mrs. is out on Saturday. She's gone for one of these, you know, brunch during the day, 2:30 brunch, 2 hours, all you can drink.
Yeah, bottomless brunch.
Then she's going axe throwing after 2 hours of drinking.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. And then she's
down
going
South End Pier, is it?
Then she's going, near enough. Then she's going Prosecco Pong. Yeah, you know what I mean? And
she's going to be absolutely
showing me her outfit the other day, going, oh, do I look good? I'm like, do you know what I mean? I'm sitting here with two kids watching Wimbledon draw 0-0 and not have a shot on target against Morecambe.
Well, in France, yeah?
Yeah, I'll go away for the weekend. Just me and the kids. But yeah, so yeah, just me. Well, the missus gets cracked on in by Essex finest, by Southend's finest, do you know what I mean?
I wish her well.
Yeah. Should be coming home walking like John Wayne. Right, anyway, let's move on and we'll finish the episode. Thanks to Gary Fletcher and the boys at Season Master for sponsoring this podcast this season. Danny, have a great trip up in Morecambe. That's us done. Come on, you dons.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.